And I'm just about to go on and tell them how, if they'll come on in, I'll get Papa from the scaffolds on the falls, when I see that they don't look like they've heard me talk at all. They aren't even looking at me. The fat man is swinging back and forth, looking off down the ridge of lava to where the men are standing their places on the scaffolding in the falls, just plaid-shirted shapes in the mist from this distance. Every so often you can see somebody shoot out an arm and take a step forward like a sword fighter, and then hold up his 15-foot forked spear for somebody on the scaffold above him to pull off the flopping salmon. The fat guy watches the men standing in their places in the 50-foot veil of water and bats his eyes and grunts every time one of them makes a lunge for a salmon. The other two, John and the woman, are just standing. Not a one of the three acts like they heard a thing I said. In fact, they're all looking off from me like they'd assume I wasn't there at all. And everything stops and hangs this way for a minute. I get the funniest feeling that the sun has turned up brighter than before on the three of them. Everything else looks like it usually does. The chickens fussing around in the grass on top of the adobe house. The grasshoppers batting from bush to bush. The flies being stirred into black clouds around the fish racks by the little kids with sage flails, just like every other summer day. Except the sun on these three strangers is all of a sudden way the hell brighter than usual, and I can see the seams where they're put together, and almost see the apparatus inside them take the words I just said and try to fit the words in here and there, this place and that, and when they find the words don't have any place ready-made where they'll fit, the machinery disposes of the words like they weren't even spoken. The three are stock still while this goes on. Even the swings stopped, nailed out at a slant by the sun, with the fat man petrified in it like a rubber doll. Then Papa's guinea hen wakes up in the juniper branches and sees we got strangers on the premises and goes to barking at them like a dog, and the spell breaks. The fat man hollers and jumps out of the swing and sidles away through the dust, holding his hat up in front of the sun so he can see what's up there in the juniper tree making such a racket. When he sees it's nothing but a speckled chicken, he spits on the ground and puts his hat on. "I myself sincerely feel," he says, "that whatever offer we make on this metropolis will be quite sufficient." "Could be. I still think we should make some effort to speak with the chief." The old woman interrupts him by taking one ringing step forward. "No." This is the first thing she said. "No," she says again in a way that reminds me of the big nurse. She lifts her eyebrows and looks the place over. Her eyes spring up like the numbers in a cash register. She's looking at Mama's dresses hung so carefully on the line, and she's nodding her head.